All right, amen. Everybody happy? Good, praise the Lord. Well, I tell you what, it's good to be here. My first time, amen. I got this thing on, everything's on. All right, hear me okay? All right, good, amen. Shake your head, all right. And but anyway, I appreciate your pastor and his wife. We love them. And preacher Teps is on the radio, does a good job on the anchor desk. He's always got things to say. That's a challenge when you're trying to raise money. And but we have two charathons a year coming up in February, and I believe our total this year will be $89,000. So anyway, think of a lot of good things. Amen. And but hey, the Lord is able. God can do it. But the radio ministry is Dr. Runyon went home to be with the Lord. April will be 3 years ago. And so anyway, we miss him. I know he's there in the heaven, in heaven with the Lord. And so we, you know, IBOM, the radio station, is a ministry, an arm out of IBOM. And so, but it's a big responsibility, grave responsibility. And we have our staff there and all the announcers, and so we have a budget that we have to go by, two charathons a year, and so that's the listener's portion. And so God's been faithful. We've had some great charathons. Dr. Luther Spivey, our general manager, vice president, of course, with IBOM, and we work together. And I tell you what, he's been a champion in organization and lining all the speakers up and all the singers that coming together. And I live 3 hours away there in Winder, Georgia. And that's a far country. Amen. And so we, there the ministry's here. And so I appreciate Dr. Spivey and all that he does for the radio. But he has a great heart for Mexico and loves Mexico. He cannot testify, cannot preach, except telling about what God's doing there in Mexico. Amen. And the Lord is doing a lot. I tell you what, a lot of things are happening, and we appreciate, of course, the enlargement of the ministry. And we'll be making a lot of announcements there in February about what God's been doing and how he's enlarging the radio ministry in Western North Carolina. Thank you for listening, and thank you for participating and giving. And, preacher, thank you so much for all that you do for the radio and on the radio. And thank the Lord for that. And good to see Preacher King and his wife. Amen. I always admire him, esteem him, and look up to him as a mentor. Amen. He's 25 years younger than I am. Amen. And but I appreciate him. And I sat under the late Dr. Oliver B. Green, worked for him for a number of years. And really, that was my first part of the printing ministry. And we were printing 100,000 32-page tracts every day and getting out the gospel. He was on 195 radio stations at that time. And so really, I worked there during the day that I went to Tabernacle under the late Dr. Harold B. Seitler and studied there, and there 6 years. And so I had the best of both worlds. Amen. I really wasn't working. I was just going to, it's just so exciting to serve the Lord in both capacities. And so we go to Bible college at night, and but I cut my teeth on those good men of God. And we appreciate Dr. King and how the Lord has used him. Only heaven will reveal the fruit that's come out of that ministry. And the treasures has been laid up in heaven. And God has sorted all out, 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 5, Romans 14. God has sorted all out. Amen. And but I tell you, we want to do everything we can for the glory of God. Then good to see the Gazaway family. Amen. And his brother was one of my deacons there at Calvary Baptist in Rockmart, Georgia. We were talking a little bit about that a moment ago. And good to see them. I appreciate them and their faithfulness. And we love the Gazaway family. A lot of history there. And don't you tell them anything bad about me. Amen. And it's all got to be good. All right. But no, I appreciate them. Let's all stand. Take your Bible And let's see, I don't want to be like Pharaoh. Pharaoh wouldn't let God's people go. Amen. So, you know, what time are we going to eat? Amen. We're going to eat something. All right, when I get finished. All right, praise the Lord. Well, amen. We may have to warm it back up. All right, I don't know. My wife's not here, so she can't yank my coat and say that's enough. And but I appreciate my wife. I met her in the 11th grade. Amen. All right. I met her in the 11th grade in high school. And we got married when she was in the 11th grade in high school. But I met her at a Jim Wallace service station. Matter of fact, I just had got saved about 3 months. And they were double dating. She pulled up in the car there, and I looked at her, and it's like the Lord told me. He said, "There's your wife," and she was almost 15, and she was 14, fixed turned 15, and but anyway, we got married when she was 16. Amen. And back then I had hair. Amen. And so, she didn't look at me like I looked at her, but I convinced her, amen. And so we've been married now since 1974, and I got her in church, and she got saved. And then we got married, and then God called me to preach, and then God sent me to Bible college here at Tabernacle. And the Lord's given us 3 beautiful daughters, and we have 8 girl grandbabies, no boys. Our middle daughter, Rachel, is going to have another one, and so the revealing or revelation will come later. Maybe, you know, it could be a grandson. I'd be the first. Amen. We won't know how to act. But anyway, we'll do our best. But anyway, I tell everybody that's the reason I'm bald-headed. Amen. All them women in my life. When they come over, there's a lot of drama. And there's a lot of drama with men, too. Amen. It's just not the women. But I used to have nightmares, you know, and I tell all my daughters, I said, you know, we go to church. And I said, y'all spray all that stuff, chokes me to death. And I said, you know, pantyhose all through the house, and they're, you know, just, you know, frightful. And so I have these nightmares. But anyway, I said, I could be the reason my hairs fell out. I don't know. It could be. And Dr. King, he was talking about my hair. I told him I changed shampoo. I'm using Mop and Glow now. Amen. And so anyway, all right, I got to get to preaching. Amen. Take your Bibles open now. I enjoyed Brother Cooley's message. Did a great job there. Pray for him, his support. And he's got a burden to get to the field. And a good brother there, Macedonia. I was asking about one of our colleagues, our Tabernacle, Brother Wesley Hutchins. And he is a missionary of Macedonia. And he said, oh, yes, and he's his director. And so he and I go way back years ago. And we love Macedonia, what they're doing. And we appreciate Brother Cooley. And amen. My daughter, Rachel, they have twin girls, identical. We can't tell them apart. I have no idea. They're almost 8 years old, and I still don't know who is who. I know they're girls, but I have no idea. And Rachel, hers, you know, Angela, Brenda, Kenley, and Haley. So it's Kenley and Haley. And so I say, hello, Kenley. She said, I'm not Kenley, I'm Haley. I said, hello, Haley. She said, I'm not Haley, I'm Kenley. I said, who are y'all? You know. And so anyway, they have a lot of fun with it. They even fool the teachers at school. They do. Amen. All right. They don't take after me. I know that. Amen. All right. No, they do. All right. Your Bible's open now to the book of Psalms, chapter number 81. I've been praying about the missions meeting, and I appreciate the book of Acts, and I enjoy the good message by Dr. King there. And tremendous principles and truth and application. And I love missions. I pastored 17 years. I was in Egypt. I know, Dr. King, you told me if I could get a printing press in Egypt, you'd help me. Amen. And I made 25 trips into Egypt and helping to start churches there and Bible college in Alexandria. And it was about, I was preaching to 400 Muslim, Coptic, and Christian. in a meeting. And so the Lord in that meeting, that was my third time in before God put me into missions. But it was in that meeting that the Lord really changed my heart for missions. I've always been a mission-minded pastor. And I really thought I was in my life work. As Preacher Rain's been here 10 years, and I commend him for that, and thank God for that. Amen. The Lord has blessed you here, and the beautiful fellowship building, all that you're doing. Amen. Hallelujah. But it was in that service that the Lord did a tremendous change in my heart. That really, when I came back, I called all my men in, and I said, "This is what the Lord has put in my heart to do." It's like Nehemiah before Artaxerxes and what God did in his heart to do for Jerusalem. And the Lord burdened my heart. I had no idea what the Lord was going to do. I just knew that God wanted me to go into missions. I came back and resigned my church. That was the hardest thing I'd ever did there. And I loved them people. And I told them what God had already did in my heart. And I didn't know anything about it. I knew all about missions. I taught missions. I taught all that stuff. But now I was going to be doing it for the first time. And I had to go out on deputation and raise my personal support. And then it's been 20, this February will be 23 years looking backward. And to date, IBOM, we have 479 church plants around the world. 9 Bible college training centers. And then the Lord has enabled us. We were enlisted, but He enabled us. And my burden, my personal one, you know, I did Egypt for 10 years, and then Dr. Runyon asked me to go to Kenya. And Dr. King, I told him, I said, "God ain't in it." And the Lord he showed me. And I said, "No," I said, "I'm not going. I have no burden for Kenya. I have no desire for Kenya. I love it as a minister, but I have no burden." And I went with him one time, two times, third time. And then the Lord put it in my heart. And God gave me a love for those people. And so we pretty much turned indigenous there to Egypt. And everything's still going. We're still working with men there, IBOM. So now from there in West Kenya, and we have 195 church plants. We have, my burden is to build 100 church buildings. And to date, we have 76 helping national pastors become indigenous in a 3-year commitment. And so in 2018, we built 8 church buildings. In 2019, we built 9 church buildings. And 2020, we built 5 church buildings. And then God put in my heart to build a Bible college building in Malaba. And I asked Dr. Ekio, I said, "How much is it going to take?" He told me. And so anyway, last year, amidst COVID, we built a 40-foot wide, 80 feet long, 5 classrooms, an office, 43 tables, 300 chairs, 3,000-volume library, and the Lord took care of every bit of it financially. And then the Lord enabled us to ship number 8 container, Bible container into Africa, and 1,080,000 tracts, 25,000 whole Bibles, and on I could go. You say, "How did all that happen?" Psalm 81:10, look at him. Psalm 81:10. The Bible said, "Here I am. I am." Boy, we can just stop and shout right there. We can stop and just reminisce. It's not me. It's Him. It's not my ability. It's not my, it's not in degrees. I thought, well, Dr. King, if I just give me some of them degrees. And I got about five of them, and I realized I got over them. And I realized, listen, it's not in education, it's not in my ability, it's not in my, charisma, whatever. But He said, I am. Now notice what He said. I am the Lord thy God that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now here it is. I really don't know what God wants for you to do related to the mission conference. You're seeking the Lord in this time. You're praying. You're hungry. You're asking the Almighty. I personally, my own faith, promised missions. And I have three national pastors. I have a total of nine that I've worked with personally. And they all have six of them, seven have buildings now, are indigenous. And then the Lord burned my heart to step out on the impossibility, increase my faith. And so I support Seedline International, $100 a month. Bible Literature Missionary Foundation, $100 a month. And then another ministry, $100 a month. And then and then the home office, $250 a month. And so you say, how do you do all that? You must be rich. Well, I got a rich father. I am the Lord thy God that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, now fill it. So I don't know what God wants you to do, whether He wants you to, in other words, you're given the missions, maybe $100 a month, $200 a month. Maybe God is saying to you that He said, hey, I want you to step out and increase that amount of money, but I don't know exactly what the Lord would have you to do. I know you're hungry, you're searching, you're asking the Almighty, I want to be a part of this, the great ministry, the great commission. I want to help to reach the whole world, all nations, every creature, beginning at Jerusalem, even so send I you. So I don't know what the Lord is wanting you to do. I know what the will of God is for my life. I'm 66, amen. And Dr. King told me I'm a young man, and hey, I like that. Amen, preacher. Father, Lord, help us today. God, I pray You'll bless the church. Thank You for the good messages we've heard already. And Lord, I pray that You'd bring us to that place, that You'll do a work in this service, Lord, that would be everlasting. That, Lord, we would come and from this time, and You would do work in our faith, in our trust, in our desire, in our importunity, Lord, in our obedience. One day we'll stand before the tribunal, and we'll give an account of God to our giving. Lord, our motive and manner, methods. And so, Father, I pray You'd help us today. Oh, God, You know every heart. You know every family. You know what's needed in this hour. Lord, You know the next phase or steps for this church. And I pray, thank You for the leadership. Thank You for, Lord, the families of this church. And I just pray You'll get glory, praise, and preeminence. And oh, God, may You get, we honor You and help us do a work in our lives. Lord, me personally, Lord, speak to me, oh God, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right. Now, Psalm 81:10, I see this right here. We call it the wide open mouth. Open thy mouth wide. And God said, I'll fill it. Can I ask you the question? How hungry are you for the Lord? What is it that God wants you to do? What is it today that, many times I come across businessmen and the Lord's give them a good talent to make money. And boy, I challenge them, to take their means and help in missions. And I had I remember one, I won't name the name, make it anonymous, and I have one there and from North Carolina area. And so he helped us in one project there in Africa. And now he has 9 projects he has completed. And he said, God has so blessed my business. He said, I used to build houses for $1 million. I mean, $100,000, $200,000. And now I'm building them for $1.5 million. He said, you know what? He said, my signature's worth $45,000. But it all attributed back to when he said, when I stepped out by faith and on impossibility, leaving, we were called when Peter got out of the boat and let go of the rope and began to walk. You know, that was the verse that changed D.L. Moody's life. That was the verse that changed, I mean, even Charles Spurgeon. And my friend, listen, stepping out on the impossibility. My friend, listen, you can't, but God can, amen. I don't have it, but God has it. And he wants to give through your life. Now, notice he said here in Psalm 81, him, I am the Lord thy God that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and God said, I'll fill it. You know, when I think about this here, I think about God's credentials, God's ability, God's power. You know, when I think about the immutability of the Lord, and I think about Hebrews 13:8, and I think about Malachi, that he said, I change not. Churches change. Preachers change. My friend, I know, listen, we're facing a lot of things. But you know, listen, God is still powerful. God is still able. God is still all. He has, my friend, God can do it. God's able to send it through you. God's able to bless you. Amen. And so we find here in Psalm 78, go over there quickly. And notice in Psalm 78, now think about God's credentials and God's ability. In verse 12, he said, marvelous things. Let me ask you, what is the Lord doing marvelous in your life? Now, I know salvation, but I'm talking about him in the area of missions. I'm talking about what is my faith doing? We define what faith is by what faith is doing. What is faith doing in my life? What is the fruit of my faith? And the Bible said here in verse 12, he said, marvelous things did he in the sight of the fathers in the field, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. Notice in verse 19, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God? You know, one of the killing effects in a lot of mission conferences and a lot of Christians' life is that they don't believe God. They doubt. They doubt. God can't do that today. God's not able to do that today. You know, when I think about it, people say, well, you can't do that which you know you're doing in Africa. And I thought, well, you know what? You came a little late to tell me that it can't be done. Because I'm seeing the fruit of it. And one day, probably, preacher, you know, and I'll get to that in a minute. But God changed my life probably 9 years ago, and I'm going to tell a little bit of that, and then I'll get into the 7 things. Amen. It won't be long, I promise you. You've heard that one before. Hallelujah. But the Bible said, they said, can God, and you know, can God. But why don't we turn it around and say, God can. God can supply that need. God can, you know, I want my faith to be increased. I want to be able to give more to missions. I want to contribute. I want to help our church enlarge its borders, take on more missionaries, raise up the level of support the missionaries have now from your church. You say we want to increase that and we want to take on more missionaries. Well, how, preacher, in your own life? You know, I used to admire Dr. Seidler's preaching, even as your daddy preached. And they would preach out, you know, they would preach out of experience. They would preach out, in other words, their overflow. And they'd seen the Almighty prove himself. They'd seen God work miraculously. Can God? I want you to take your Bible, turn to Jeremiah, and we just quickly run through some of these introductory verses. Look in Jeremiah 32:17. And notice the Bible said in Jeremiah 32:17, the Bible said, "The Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and earth by thy great power and stretched out arm." And when I think about what God's did in the past of yesteryear, I see the fruit of ministries. And I see what the Lord has wrought in the past. And I say that, you know, God used that man. God blessed that ministry. God did that. He can do it in our generation. God's not limited. But do, as I look right here, the wide open mouth. Notice what he said, "There's nothing too hard for thee." But do we really believe that? We really believe, if the Lord now, your pastor, as a pastor's heart, your pastor would not want you to do anything the Lord didn't tell you to do. If the Lord tells you to increase your faith promise mission giving by $100 a month, $200 a month, $500 a month, if God told you to do that, do it. That's what this is about, is you finding the mind of God. And so we find, look in verse number 27 of the same chapter. Now notice what he said. "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh." Now note the pleading note here. In other words, maybe you've already set up, maybe some have set up a blockade of responsibilities. "I have all of this. I have all these responsibilities. And you're asking me to go beyond my responsibilities already." And so on this side is, notice what he said. He says, "There anything too hard for me?" Now, go to chapter 33. I always say, preacher, this is God's cell phone number. 333. Jeremiah 33:3. It's in my PowerPoint when I do a PowerPoint presentation. And so he said what? He said, you'll mind if I step down to him? He said, "Call upon me." Now let me ask you a question. What happens when you call? Call unto me. Do you believe in your prayer life? Do you believe, my friend, that God is going to answer your prayer? Do you look for an answer when you pray? Do you expect an answer when you pray? He said, "To call unto me, I'll answer thee." I like to have my prayers answered. It's about 9 years ago, Pastor, that really, you know, I'd set up under good men of God that knew how to get a hold of heaven. Dr. Harold B. Sider told the preacher earlier this morning, I said, you know, Dr. Sider said that God gave him everything that he asked for in the ministry. I heard him say it in my own ears. Millions and millions of dollars. Pray in, believe God. God can do it. Call unto me. I'll answer thee. And so, you know, I studied all these men. I took in what I did, preacher. I called my library out last year. I pulled out 1,000 volumes. And I sent them to Africa. Part of the 3,000 volumes and books. But I called, went through my library, and I took him. And really, I wanted them. Matter of fact, this container we're fixing, the ship's going to have 25,000 more Bibles. It's going to have another set of commentaries by Dr. Seitler, another set of commentaries by Dr. Green. I mean, about 114, just those two together. But anyway, I pulled down every book. I thought, you know what? We always say you can borrow brains, you can't borrow character. So I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to borrow some brains. I'm going to see why these men had their prayers answered. So I pulled down about 35 to 40 books on prayer. And boy, I began to go through them. I began to critique them. I read them. I read this. I said, why, how did they have the ear of God? How did they, my friend, when they prayed, they could move heaven. They could get a hold of the Almighty. I thought, you know, boy, I want to have that. I want to have the ear of God. I want to see God move. I want to be so close to the Lord that when I pray, my friend, listen, oh, I can ask Him for anything. And so what I did is, me and Dr. Runyon got to go to Bristol, England one year. And I went over there to George Mueller's place. And I went over there to Mueller's place, and boy, I just admired all the memorial house, and I went through all of that, and boy, I critiqued him, and you know, and I studied his ministry, and then I read all of his books, and then I got a hold of some of his prayers he prayed. And I began to read them. It was recorded that he had asked God specifically for 50. He had 50,000 distinctive prayers answered. He and his wife, the urgency, oh, my friend, the urgency of a need, they would pray sometime. Brother Gazzaway, they'd pray sometime, they'd pray 19 times a day. How bad do we want it? And then I come across Edward McHenry Bound. 600 pages. I went through that thing. I mean, line upon line, looking up every verse of Scripture. I wanted, God, teach me how to pray. Lord, help me in my prayer life. I want greater faith. I want to see things happen for the glory of God. So I took him. This is really when I started into Kenya. It's been almost 13 years, so I'd been working in Kenya for several years. And so I told my wife, I said, honey, I said, I'm going to be gone today. I said, I'm going to be gone today, and I said, I'll be back later on tonight. But I said, there's something that God wants me to do here. And I said, I love you, but I said, I'll be back. I just need to be alone with God. So I went down there, Preacher King, I went down there to the Washington, Georgia. And I went down there and I went to the memorial house and I said, tell me, where did he pray? And she told me the room where he prayed, where he spent his time with God. And so I went up there, nobody but me and the Lord. And I went up there and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, teach me how to pray. I said, Lord, I'm hungry. I have that wide open mouth and I want to see God do miraculous things. I appreciate all these men that you've already accomplished things through. But I want you to do some things through my life, in my life. Whoa, God, I want to see you answer prayers like never before. And so the Lord took and began to do some things in my life. I went to where he was buried. I prayed the same thing, come back home. And then the Lord, in the middle of the night, he began to really move in my heart. It's like God was telling me, he said, I want you to make a prayer journal like Ian Bounds. And so I began to, what I was trying to do is 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence we have in having him that was asked anything, it says, according to his will, he heareth us. So what I wanted to do, first of all, in my praying, is I wanted to find the mind of God. I wanted to get in that Bible. And I'm going to challenge you to do something that's called a triology. When I said triology, Ian Bounds read the Bible 200 times. And he took Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1, James 1:25, where it said, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Not, my friend, just material blessings, but spiritual blessings. Oh, that God would enable me. And so what I did, I began to pray and find the mind of God. So when I found the mind of the Lord, and you see, I didn't have it. You listen, I'm a missionary, and I'm not rich. I have a rich father, amen. And limited means like everybody else. But the Lord laid on my heart, said, I want you, like last year, God laid on my heart. Now, COVID set in, and we didn't get to build but five church buildings. But the end of the year before that, the Lord burned my heart, and I put it down in my prayer journal, and when I find the mind of God and what God wants me to do, I write it down. And so I asked God for eight church buildings in 2019, and he built every one of them. I asked him for a container of Bibles, and he took care. It takes $14,000 per container. The time it leaves the American point, and it leaves the American point, it comes across the seas, come to Mombasa. We rent that truck. It brings it all halfway across Africa to Malaba. And then our church becomes a distribution center. And then all of our pastors come in for Bible college training, and they carry hundreds and hundreds of Bibles back with them to their churches. And people get a Bible. We've been there in a given service on a big crowd, and we've given out 6,000 Bibles in a service. The people's never had a Bible. Tears running down their faces, and they're getting their own Bible. Oh, listen, beloved. You know, it's one thing to get them saved, but we must disciple them and give them the Word of God. Amen. But anyway, take your Bible, turn to the book of Mark, and I will be long. Amen. Let's go to the book of Mark, I believe it is, and well, let's see. Go back to Matthew. Go to Matthew 9. Now, I want you to notice your Bible said in Matthew chapter number 9. Look at verse number 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy lying on a bed. Now, notice what the Bible said. And Jesus seeing their faith. Now, what kind of faith does he see in you? Not the preacher's faith, missionary's faith, but I'm talking about you as a child of God individually. What kind of faith? Jesus seeing their faith. As the Lord looks down from heaven, what kind of level of faith do I have? I need faith in the level that I built 76 church buildings. I don't need faith for that. But I got 24 more to go. And so I need faith for this. I don't need faith for what I have, but I need faith for this. And so now, in other words, Jesus seeing their faith. And I'm asking the Almighty in my prayer journal. I'm begging God. I know it's God's will. I know it's God's will. Probably, in the estimation, in the time I've been working in Africa, God sent in probably $1.5 million for the ministry in the infrastructure. In my prior journal, there were four Bible college dorms, 200 beds. There are two vans. There's a Bible college building. There's a church building. And my friend, now 76 churches, my friend, that have buildings. Jesus seeing their faith. I am the Lord thy God that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide. I believe, my friend, that God, my friend, that's almighty in his ability and his power will enable you as you step out in your faith, in your giving. Oh, maybe the Lord has laid upon your heart to step out, increase your faith and your financial giving to enable this church to take on more missionaries and to raise up the amount of support you're giving to missionaries already. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Let me run through these seven things, not out of just the book of Hebrews, but turn there. But in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11 in verse number 6, the Bible said, but without faith, God said it's impossible. God said you can't do it without faith. So God said, he said, I want you to increase your faith. I don't want to have dead faith. I don't want to have disrupted faith. I want to have directed faith. I want to have dynamic faith. I love to see God use men, bless them, their ministries grow, thrive, excel. I love to hear people pray. I love to see their faith expressed. And the Bible said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God, the Bible said there in verse number 6, but he that cometh to God, notice the Bible said, must, here's the word, must, said, believe. But wait a minute. Jesus said over and over, believe you that I'm able to do this? Lord, now, I know you can do this for the pastor. Now, the pastor wants to increase his faith, and he's going to increase his missions, and he's going to bump it up maybe a whatever, 50, 100, 200, 500, whatever. I don't know. Believe. Now, if I look at my own resources, this is not going to happen. This is not going to happen. I know that I can. All of us have levels of ability. Some of us maybe could write a check for $1,000 and it wouldn't hurt you. You could write a check for $10,000, it wouldn't hurt you. You could write a check for more than that and it wouldn't hurt you. Some of you, maybe it'd be $100, it'd be tough. I don't know. But the Bible says here, notice the Bible said, but without faith it's impossible. No, excuse me, it says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe. Now notice the three words there. That he is. But he did that yesteryear. But can he do it today? The Bible said that he is. Now look at this right here. This is what we call the diligent seeker. And he is a, what? Rewarder. Of them that diligently seek him. In missions, what I've learned is that, you know, when I step out on the faith of impossibility and I don't have it, God said, do this, leave, let go of the rope of security and step out on the impossibility and trust me and believe me. I'll take care of it. I'll send it through you and to you. And so we find here in the Bible, it said, without faith it's impossible. Please, me coming to God, must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But a lot of times in faith promise commitment, people do it, they put it in the plate, and a lot of times they don't pray over it. And they don't keep praying over it. I've learned in missions. I have a prayer list. And I have a prayer journal. I've learned to pray things in. I don't have it. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know whom God has blessed, but wait a minute. I got it. I got it figured out, preacher. It's the rich churches. It's the large churches. Boy, what a revelation. If I, as a missionary, brother, if you would only go into the big churches and rich churches, he'll have his support real fast. No. I preached in 4,000 churches in America and around the world. I've driven 1,000,000 miles, flown 1,000,000 miles, been out of the country 70 times in mission work. And a lot of times I go into churches and I've learned, hey, little as much as you're saying, when God's in it, God can touch a little widow woman. God can touch that businessman. You say, God's able. Had a pastor to call and God touched him to build 6 church buildings. No idea. I could say some other things for the Lord's doing. Between now and next year, if I can get them accomplished or built, the Lord has provided in the commitments and funds we have, I can build 15 church buildings. That'd be 91. So number one today in our missions conference related to that of the Great Commission, you as a member and a child before the Lord, you're asking the Almighty, open thy mouth wide. God said, I'll fill it. I'm hungry, God. I want God to use me. I want the Lord to send through me. Help me, God. So, number one, ask the Lord to give you greater faith. Greater faith. I want to have believing faith. I want to have praying faith. I want to have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, yes, but then turn to Acts 27:25. I was studying the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts. I spent probably 5 years in it. I love to hear preachers preach out of the book of Acts and the journeys and different things. And notice in Acts chapter 27, Paul in the storm of Euryclidon. In Acts 27, notice the Bible said in verse 21. And the Bible said, but after long abstinence, where do you pray? When do you pray? Do you pray? And how do you pray? He said, call unto me, and I'll answer thee. And then God said, I'll show thee. And so, Lord, I want you to demonstrate your power through my faith and my life. Lord, I want to lay up treasures in heaven. I want to help fulfill the Great Commission to the church. And the Bible said here, look in verse 24, and the Bible said, in other words, in verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, whom I've served. And notice he said, saying, fear not. Preacher, we're in the midst of the pandemic. It's COVID. Fear not. You know what? This thing, and what I've seen, it has brooded fear. And families, preachers, churches, pastors, seemingly fear. My friend, listen, God's bigger than the pandemic. God's bigger than our dilemmas. God's bigger than our dead ends in life. He says here in that verse, it said, fear not. Notice what he said. I know you're no familiar. He said, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And then God give him something here. Number one, in other words, is faith. Number two, I use the word trust here. Can I trust God with my future? Do you really believe we have? I've been regenerated, I've been justified, I've been sanctified, I've been sealed with the Holy Ghost. So many things we could say in the doctrine of soteriology, salvation. And all that we have, everlasting life, eternal everlasting life, But I believe that, but I don't know that I can trust God in my finances. Lord, I appreciate what you're doing, but I just don't know that I can step out and let go of this rope and walk on that water. I don't know that I can give that level of money. Maybe, Lord, you want me to do that, take on. Maybe you want me to give the money, take on two or three more missionaries by faith. And it's like myself. I broke my tie chain. You know, I preach this stuff, you know. And it's like God was saying one night, he said, now, where's your faith? I said, well, what do you want me to do, Lord? He said, I want you to support three of them national pastors. And I did it. And all three of them went indigenous, have their own buildings. Then three more, they're indigenous, have their own buildings. And I'm working on a third set now. And boy, I see the fruit of my faith. And I see this, I see, in other words, what the Lord is doing here. And so if God tells me, hey, I want you to do five, well then, hey, I'm doing five. And the Lord told me to do them other ministries, and I stepped out by faith to do it. I could be driving an F-350 right now. But I'd rather lay up treasures in heaven. But number one is faith. Number two is trust. He said, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Now, that's a promise. So, a lesson. After searching 35 to 40 books on prayer, all of them would say this in category, in categorization. They would say, learn to pray the promises of God. They would say, learn to take verses related to what you're praying about. Take them to heaven. God said it. God can't lie. God, I know you're interested in world missions. I know you're interested as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts 1:8. Turn the numbers over to Acts 8:1, going into Samaria. I know you're interested in what's happening this week at this church. But notice the next verse. Notice what he said here. Verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God. Now the preacher believes God. And preacher King believes God. Maybe we would say, my brother missionary believes God. I believe God. May, you know, I say, well, he believes the Lord. But do you? But now notice the antecedent. Notice what it says here. He said, for I believe God. Now notice what he said. Look at it. That it shall be even as it was told me. So faith based on what God said. Faith based on the promise of what the Lord said. So to me, I want greater faith. I want trust, amen. I want to trust him. And so I want to trust God and believe the Almighty. But then Psalm 10:17, I just want you to turn there, see the verse, and then we'll move forward. Amen, I'll quickly. Psalm 10:17, look at it. I want to get one other place. In Psalm 10:17, because this to me is the life of your praying. This right here, I could preach all day on this one text. Psalm 10:17 says, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. So what is your desire? What is your burden? What is your desire? Is this just another few days of missions meeting? Is it the melancholy? Is it the rhetoric? Is it the routine? Nothing's going to happen. Why? God is saying, open thy mouth wide. God is saying, call unto me and I'll answer thee and I'll show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not of. You've heard my friend the preaching on the Great Commission and on those men, my friend, that Paul and Titus and Tychicus and Epaphroditus and Aristarchus and so many more, Barnabas. But all my desire, what is your desire? My desire, God, I'm asking you, Lord, this year, probably every year for the last 10 years in meetings, while watching God do it, in prayer and faith, I've watched the Lord bring together $150,000 every year, real money, for missions, Kenya, Uganda. I've watched God take him. I put in my prayer journal and say, God, I want to ship another container of Bibles. And probably over the last 8 years, Preacher King, probably the last maybe 8 years, 9 years, this is number nine, we've shipped in probably almost 300,000 whole Bibles. His word will not return void. I didn't print them Bibles. I didn't purchase them Bibles. I didn't give financially to ship the Bibles. I didn't have to. I wanted to. I'm preaching in South Carolina. I have no idea. A businessman walks up to me and he said, what's your greatest need? I started to say, me. I said, I gave him two things. He calls me on the phone. He says, my wife and I have been praying about what God would have us to do for missions. And the Lord has blessed us financially. And they've already built one church in Africa. And now they said, you know, we would like to give $10,000 toward that container. Then I'm preaching in another church and they give $4,000. And then another church, $4,000. And so the Lord's already taking care of the container for this year. And we're going to ship it probably next month. And so what I'm trying to say is this, is that, you know, I watch God work through his people. I watch God work through people's faith. I watch the Lord work through their trust in him and believe in him. Sure. And then that desire. Maybe what I'll do, this is another revelation. Maybe, can you tell me privately who is the richest person in the church? And what I want to do now is I want to run to them. And boy, I love you. You're the best of the best. No. I've never tried to do that. I could tell you some stories, and I know Preacher King's got hundreds of stories and how God's worked through people's lives and God's blessed people with means, and they're able to do it, and they want to do it, and they want to remain anonymous. They want the Lord to get the glory, and they don't want to be the only one giving in the church or for the ministry. But he said, oh, my desire. Oh, God, this is my desire. You put it in my heart to do this. Turn to Luke 11. This is Luke 11, I believe it is. Luke 11, Luke 18, they're both pretty much similar. I want to show you something here in Luke 18. Yes, I preach out of both of them, but go to Luke 18. I want to show you one word. I won't deal with this whole chapter for sake of time because it's right now 12 o'clock in Alabama. You get that, amen. Look at verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? Now, the word used mentioned several times in these verses. But which of you shall have a friend? Now, I have a mighty friend, the Lord. God can. And you go to him at midnight. Well, it's the midnight hour, dark, dreary. And you say, a friend of mine is coming to his journey. In other words, you tell your friend, lend me 3 loaves for a friend of mine. So you have a needy friend. So you go to your mighty friend, and you're the praying friend, and it's because you have a friend of mine that's coming to this journey, and I have nothing to set before him. Okay, Lord, the pastor has brought in missionaries and given the names of missionaries and told us what he wants to do, and so now, Lord, I'm going to go to my mighty friend. I'm a praying friend. And he's a needy friend. And I don't have it. I got teenagers. I got grandchildren. One of them, my teenager, she's a teenager, 18, 19, but in 16, 17, through those years, she'd come to the altar in a mission conference. She didn't have no money. But she'd step out by faith. And say, I'm going to pray it in. I'm going to believe God. And she'd write down on that faith promise card a certain amount and stretch her faith and watch God send it in. I'm praying, friend, going to my mighty friend for that needy friend. But then notice here in the text, notice the Bible said, he said in verse number 8, but I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend. Now I know the Lord. Boy, I love to study. I read the Old Testament twice a year. I go through the New Testament 4 times a year. I was doing the New Testament every 30 days. I backed off some. And it says, not because he's his friend. But it says because of his importunity. Every book on prayer that you read will bring up this word. In the book of Isaiah, it says, keep not silence. Give him no rest. In other words, we have what I call many times runaway knocks. We knock at heaven's door and we run. And we don't wait. And God is saying here, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, but because of his importunity. That's the urgency. That's not giving up. You want it so bad. You must hear from heaven. It's God's going to answer this prayer. Him, or George Miller and his wife would pray 19 times a day for a need. How many times a day do you pray for your missions? For God to bring it in. I specifically pray every day for the church buildings that I have before me to build, and for the national pastors and churches I want to start, and the things that I want to do, and the containers and other ministry. And I'm asking the Almighty every day through the day. My prayer list is in the car. Sometimes I have 100 verses I use in my prayer life on index cards. And I'll drive many times for hours and pray those verses before God. And God, I said, you said this, Lord. You said you'd do it. God can't lie. And so, oh, God, I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know how. But God, you're going to supply that need because it's God's will. Importunity. Then, there's one other one, Isaiah 59:1. The Bible talks about there. You know, years ago, I got to interview the late Billy Canoy and Dr. R.B. Seidler on the Holy Ghost. Back then, preacher, I had such a hunger to be filled with the Spirit of God, and I knew I was placed in the body of Christ at salvation and being filled continually in Ephesians 5, but oh, that I wanted to have the power of God on my life, and So I was doing a dissertation. And I wrote 750 handwritten pages, 198 pages printed for the degree. Boy, I was so hungry. And one of those areas is, writing about not grieving or smothering or quenching the Holy Ghost. Because you know what? My prayers, boy, I want to see them answered. They're important prayers.
Good preacher.
This is not carnal, it's not selfish. But this is real prayer, and it's, oh, the will of God. I want to be right with my fellow brethren. I want to be right with my wife. I want to be right with my friend, the saints of God. I don't want to do anything that would jeopardize my prayer life. And so I have to, in Isaiah 59:1, his hand is not shortened that he cannot say, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And so I don't want anything. It's too important. Because, yes, the judgment seat of Christ. Yes, the judgment of the nations. Yes, we could deal with those judgments. But all that Revelation 20, the great white throne judgment. And all those, my friend, that are going to stand there lost. My friend, going to go to hell, the lake of fire. And boy, we have an opportunity in this missions conference. Oh, we have an opportunity to increase our faith and to trust the Lord. And oh, my friend, the desire that God would put in our heart for world missions to take on more missionaries. How bad do I want that opportunity? Well, I'm praying to my mighty friend, believing him. Oh, God's given me a promise that it shall be even as it told me that meeting. So I'm going to come in obedience. And boy, I'm going to believe God. And while we stand today, let's everybody stand. We don't need them singing right now if it'd be okay, preacher. I want you to stand and I want you to close your eyes, bow your head there just a moment and I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Now, many are coming to the altar. If you want to come on, draw nigh to God. He said he'd draw nigh to you. If you want to pray there in the altar, that's fine. If you want to come to the altar, that's fine. I'll leave that up to you. But this is a service. You've heard two great messages before. My friend, listen, challenging us and helping us in our faith and our belief and our trust. And I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do in the missions? Oh God, lay upon my heart, increase my faith. Lord, show me the will of God in my giving. What do you want me to do, Lord? Souls are in the balance. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Oh, listen, hey, these are perilous times, no doubt. But boy, I want to lay up treasures in heaven. Boy, I want to see souls saved. You pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, oh God, for thy people. That you'd show them what you would want them to do in missions. Increase their faith, my faith. I'm asking you, Lord, in my own life, in this meeting right now, God, you'd show me in my own personal life. Lord, maybe there's some areas, Lord, you want me to stretch in faith and believe God. Lord, teach me how to pray. I'm not a master of prayer. Many times I'm weak, I'm anemic. Oh, God, in my own ability, I can't, but God can. And so, Lord, I pray for thy people. You'd show them the will of God and help them to be obedient. Help them to trust you in their finances. And oh God, help us to be clean with the Lord, to be right with thee. Bless the remainder of the service, God, I pray, in this medium. May you get glory, praise, and preeminence. Lord, I pray you'd every song, every message to bring honor to you. Lord, I pray for the container of Bibles. We're going to ship, Lord willing, next month. And oh God, thank you for those who contributed. Thank you for these printing ministries, how needful they are, and how such a great necessity and an asset to the missionaries and the people all over the world that need to have a Bible. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you'd help us to overcome any seeming fears. I'm human, Lord. I sometimes fear. I sometimes have weak faith, oh God. I'm no super Christian, Lord. You know it. Oh God, help me. In my timidity, in my inability, oh God, help me. Lord, I'll trust you. Believe the Almighty in a greater breath and ability, power, oh God. Fill us with thy spirit. God, give us that Acts 1:8. Oh God. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which you think or ask, but is according to the power that worketh within you. And oh God, help us, Lord, that we will hunger, desire, and fulfill the will of God for our life in this generation. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, preacher.